The show you're about to listen to is very old and comes with a warning. When we recorded these shows over a decade ago, the world was a different place and we were little more than children. As a result of this, you might hear a few things that by today's standards we judge to be inappropriate or offensive. Please don't be offended. In the years that have passed since recording these shows, we've all grown up to be wonderful, loving, liberal, free-thinking, open-minded individuals. If the us from over a decade ago say something to upset the you of today, please understand that we're as disgusted with ourselves as you are. But isn't this what life is all about? Learning and growing? We all said and did things in our younger days that make us cringe when we think about them. We just recorded it and put it out on the internet. With all that in mind, I hope you enjoy the show. Oh, and there's just one more thing. Don't email the show or try to enter competitions. We don't have that email anymore, and all the competitions are over. We do have a Facebook group where you're very welcome to discuss any aspects of the podcast. Please visit simplysyndicated.com for more information.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Make It So, the Star Trek podcast. This is episode 15, and this week we will be discussing the best episode of Star Trek The Next Generation Series 2, continuing on from our earlier discussion about Star Trek The Next Generation Series 1.
It is, yes.
It is. That would make sense.
You do two after one.
You do two after one, unless... Two after one or... Sometimes I do twos before one.
Let's end this and just go to the thing.
I'm Mike Dawson.
I'm Richard Smith. Okay, so it's fair to say, in general, to sort of round up season two of Next Gen.
It's shit.
Yeah, it's one of the poorer ones, if not the poorest one and my least favourite season of Next Gen.
Right.
That said, I'm going to do my very best to be as positive as I possibly can this season.
There are some sparkling gems in this.
There certainly are.
In the rough.
The thing that sticks out, to get the bad things out the way, right, to begin with, this is the season where we had Dr. Pulaski introduced.
Yes.
Dr. Pulaski wound me up. I hated the woman. There were many instances when she could have died, and sadly did not die.
Mm.
In particular, where she became an old woman.
Yeah.
No, didn't die there.
She was fairly old. Already.
Exactly. It can't have taken long.
No.
Strangely, one alien race tried to clone her at one point, I believe.
Yes.
Who'd want to?
You know,
however shallow your gene pool.
Yeah.
What I didn't like about her, I didn't like her severeness. She was sort of, after going from Beverly Crusher, who was very soft and warm and motherly.
Mm.
And also a bit of a MILF.
Mm.
To go to Dr. Pulaski is quite a harsh change.
Yeah.
She was much more severe and dull and objected to mainly every plan that Jean-Luc Picard ever had.
Not only that, but would I be right in assuming that a lot of the episodes surrounded her character, if I remember?
She did seem to do exceedingly well in terms of episode count.
Yeah.
Oh, and she shagged Riker's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would bother me.
That would bother me. So yeah, she did well with the screen time, which now this I've seen in other shows before where oddly enough the dedicated fan, like, they introduce a new character and then suddenly they give the new character far more screen time than the already pre-existing regulars. And this only ever serves to piss the fans off. Really.
I think what they're trying to do is sort of embed this new character in your memory as much as the other characters have been.
Well, the problem is what the way you should do it, as I've seen it done well before in many different shows, is you introduce a character, you let them lie very low. You maybe give them one or two episodes,
yeah,
but then you let them lie low for a season and then you give them a big story.
That's a good way of doing it.
Because then the audience has become accustomed to them. They like them. They want to see more of them. You know, and they don't feel that they're stealing time away from everyone else.
It's sort of like dipping your toe into the pool rather than diving in.
Precisely.
That's good.
Yeah. Plus, what else was irritating about Series 2? If I'm also right in remembering, this was the shortest of the next gen seasons with only 20 episodes. Am I right in that assumption?
No, I think there were more than 20 episodes. I don't know. Let me just. I can't. They aren't numbered. That's a pain.
That's a pain. Or at least it was. I'm sure it was unusually short, series two.
It didn't do well. I think they did well. If they ended it quickly, then that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think we'd started to see the problems with the original series. Let me put that better, actually. The first series was heavily flawed in many ways. Mm. The uniform was shit.
Mm.
The image quality was shit. Everything seemed to have an overly big tinge of brown to it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was about, but everything seemed to have a hue of brown. And I really didn't like those low-necked uniforms and stuff like that. Did we have Riker with a beard in two?
Yes, we did, yes.
That was a slight improvement in many ways.
Yeah. You also had Geordi. Had Geordi got his silver visor by this point, or was he still blinging it up with the golden visor?
I never knew it changed.
Yeah, yeah, definitely in the first series when he's got the red uniform, he's got a gold gangster visor.
See, I always just put that down to the brown tinge to everything.
Really?
Yeah.
No,
that's what I thought it was.
This is definitely a change in visor between one of the seasons. And of course, we have Geordi as chief engineer.
Oh, of course. Now he's got a chair that slides along the floor instead of a chair that's just bolted down to one position.
Yes, and how does he love to slide, doesn't he?
Oh, he loves that. I must admit.
I've got my office at work is actually quite a nice long room. You know, you've seen it.
I have. And,
I do slide from one end of the desk to the other. It's quite
nice. Now all you need is an office-wide intercom built into your desk.
Yeah.
So you can press the button on your desk and shout at it like on the Enterprise.
I should do, yeah.
Get that fitted. You're the technical guy.
Oh, no.
We should put a maintenance request in.
I need a warp core ejection manifold. And
what is a manifold?
I don't know. I just used that word quite spuriously there.
I never understood. They never explain what a manifold is. What?
I'm sure it's a real word. I mean,
I think it's a real word. I've heard it before, but only in... No, I have not ever heard it.
I don't think I've ever heard
word
it
use
outside the context of Star Trek. Maybe it's like Jeffrey's tubes. Maybe it's just...
I'm sure someone will email in and let us know.
Anyway, on to the task at hand. Let's start with first episode of Series 2, Deanna Gets Knocked Up.
The Child.
This was a particularly poor seasoning open.
Yes, it was.
Opening seasoning on meat.
Little thing.
Season opener.
Yes.
That's what I meant.
You're struggling for a long time there.
I was struggling for a long time.
It starts off, I think, is there a meteorite they destroy or something? No, that's a different one, sorry.
That's a different one. Pretty sure she's impregnated by a beam of light.
It's a little light ball, isn't it?
Yeah, and it floats around until it finds its mum.
Yeah, she has a baby, and the baby isn't really her baby. It just got a body from inside her sort of thing. And
then it grows exponentially.
And fucks off. Really.
Doesn't it die?
No, it fucks off.
Does it?
Yeah.
I'm sure it died.
No, it leaves. Trust me, it leaves. Because we see it floats away through the hull of the ship as a little beam of light again.
Yeah, but the body dies.
No, that would be really dark. He just turns into the ball of light.
Oh, does he? Oh,
yeah. Right. We don't kill many kids on Star Trek, even if they are aliens.
Yes.
You know, you can't do that. So... it's not a good season opener.
No.
Not many redeeming features.
No.
Not at all, actually, that I can think of. There's a whole who's the father thing.
You had a change in the dynamic. So, yeah, we had the Geordi as an engineer and Polanski coming on board as the new doctor.
Yes, we did.
That was about it.
Okay, we moved on to the next episode, which was Where Silence Has Lease. And again, another sort of stock off the shelf. The Enterprise is engulfed by a mysterious hole. Sort of episode.
One thing that this did have was that it was particularly a dark episode. And I remember this being quite scary when I was younger.
Am I right in thinking that this is the one where they the first self-destruct mechanism one, or is that in season one?
I don't know
one?
If it's the first one, but it certainly is a
they
self-destruct.
They get it down to the last second sort yeah. of thing in order to...
Does the first officer concur? Yes, I concur wholeheartedly.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, that one.
Right. Oh, this one's actually quite dark.
Yeah, and they kill the...
They kill the ensign at the wheel.
Yeah, which is quite nasty.
And he dies very well.
Yes,
actually.
He does.
You know...
We gotta allow you to do this! Brilliant. Picard gets angry. We love it when Picard gets angry. And then there's the other ship that comes out of the cloud, and it's the Enterprise, and then they beam
That's
onto
part
it.
Of it. No, it's the what's
it was
the name?
Yamato, isn't it? It's their sister ship,
yes.
or something like that, in the cloud. But it's not. It's actually
an illusion. The bridge that goes
to another bridge,
and all of that,
and the walls weren't made out of titanium. Some unusual alloy that they'd never seen before or something like that.
That was it.
It was like, yeah, I can remember the bits
and
bobs
Worf of it. A bit wappy.
Yeah.
He did tend to overreact though, didn't he, Worf?
Mm.
Bless him.
Well, that was a good one because it had a nice little Picard versus the cloud kind of
That is good. I like it when it's Picard versus something, and when it's something as seemingly undefeatable as a cloud in space that talks.
Yeah. But then there's a nice little bit at the end where they're having a conversation over the intercom.
Oh, yes, I remember that. It appears small to him, doesn't
it? Yeah.
Something like that.
Oh, no, it's just over the intercom. He's just having a chat with it. Weird. They're
Very
out of
weird.
It, but odd.
Yes.
Next,
Elementary Dear Data.
Is this
the first thing you want?
Yeah.
Holodeck.
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 And Professor Moriarty leaves.
That's not this one, is it?
No. Is it? Yeah, it is this one.
It's not.
It is.
It's not.
I'm sure it is.
No.
The thing I remember most about this episode is one particular very startlingly stupid goof, is where Geordi is holding up a diagram of the Enterprise which Professor Moriarty has drawn.
Yes.
And he's looking at it, and the reveal is he flips it.
It's the right
upside
way.
Upside down, and it's the right way up pointing at the camera, so Geordi was staring at it upside down.
I never thought of that.
Which is quite amusing.
This is the episode where they ask the holodeck to create a character with the ability to defeat Data. The very first Moriarty one.
Yes.
This one. Dr. Pulaski and all her usefulness gets kidnapped on her own holodeck, on her own ship, and Moriarty kicks off a bit.
Mm.
Quite a good episode, one that I enjoy, and one that did sort of rear its ugly head again on two more occasions.
Mm.
And those episodes were quite good too.
Didn't have Data with a pipe.
Data with a pipe's good for a laugh, especially for Data fans out there. And I know there are quite a few.
There are quite a few. It's good. It's a nice little gimmick.
I think so. Dr. Moriarty came back. What happened next? So he came alive, realized he wanted to...
I can't remember another Moriarty episode.
There were two, I believe. Right. There was this one, where he realizes he's a holodeck character and can't leave, and they sort of just save him in memory. Then there's an... Or are there only two, then?
He utters the immortal words of, I think, therefore I am... And then leaves the holodeck, but he isn't actually leaving the holodeck. He's leaving a holodeck simulation of him leaving the holodeck.
Yes.
And he got it wrong.
With Reg Barkley in as well, and they end up saving him on a little mini holodeck that they put on a shelf somewhere.
Aww.
Which is quite nice that they don't just switch him off, because I'd switch him off, the little fuck.
Well,
he causes problems.
No, just throw him off a waterfall like Holmes did.
And I don't like his crap British accent.
Hmm.
I don't know where he's from.
Probably British.
Yes. Next we have the outrageous O'Connor.
O'Connor with Terry Hatcher.
Other than it having Terry Hatcher in, there's very little to say about this. There's some nice moments when...
Riker's jealous.
Riker's jealous of someone, and he does that quite well.
Yeah. He kind of like puffs his chest out a bit like a bird, doesn't he? And like,
well,
gets all serious.
They rescue a guy called Captain something or other,
mm-hmm.
who comes on board, and he's got a nicer beard than Riker. That it's beard envy.
It is beard envy.
Is what you're witnessing.
Yeah.
Very embarrassing.
He's got a ponytail as well. Which,
oh, God, that's terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible.
It was
but
terrible
Riker
for
wanted
the
it.
Time. He did.
Yeah.
I bet he got a little clip on one just to pretend with at night.
Walked around in the quarters, yeah.
Do you remember how... Did you ever see the TV show Johnny Briggs?
No.
Well, in this TV show, every day, Johnny Briggs would run home from school and run up to his bedroom, and the first thing he would do when he got home from school was put on this gold belt. I have no idea why.
Right.
And for Riker, I think a fake ponytail was perhaps the same sort of affair.
Maybe.
He would rush, his shift would end, he rushes home, gets into his quarters, clicks that ponytail on, and it breathes a deep sigh of relaxation. Yeah. And sort of
proceeds
it.
To play just, air guitar to himself. And
that's what he does. What's next? Loud as a Whisper. Oh, God, another... These are all atrocious episodes.
What happened in Loud as a Whisper?
This is the one with the guy, the deaf mediator, but it's mediator. The deaf mediator who has three people with him, and they speak.
Oh, yeah, and they all get vaporized. And you
yes,
see,
they
and,
do.
And you see their skeletons.
And you sort of think, ha-ha.
Yeah.
But ha-ha.
They got vaporized by one blast. Like
yes,
all three of them. That's just bad luck.
It's terrible luck, isn't it?
Terrible luck. I mean, yeah, that was a pretty shit one. I can't remember anything about it other than the fact that they all get vaporized, because I always remember people getting vaporized because I think it's mean.
We learn an important lesson about how we can learn to talk to each other with enough perseverance and things like that. But
right.
It's another pointless episode that got nowhere.
Right.
Very quickly. Let's move on. The next one, The Schizoid Man.
The Schizoid Man? What was The Schizoid Man?
I'm going to need to look this up. Just bear with me while I work my ass.
I'm realising more and more that, you know, as much as I have watched all of these...
You can't remember them from the name.
I can't remember them at all. Well, not at all. Obviously, I can remember some of them, but I can't remember a lot of the details. What happens in this one, then?
Ah! This is the one where Data finds his grandfather.
Eh?
They go to see a scientist on a planet who they've received a distress signal from.
Eh?
It turns out he's this old robot guy who taught Noonien and Soon everything he knows, sort of thing.
Oh, and I really can't remember anything about that.
He knows Data and he says, I'm your grandfather and all of that sort of thing. Quite cool. Then he dies, right? But he uploads himself into Data.
And what does Data do?
He becomes the old man.
Yeah, but what does he do as the old man?
He sort of just swans about causing a bit of trouble. Most of the problems come from the fact that he's not Data and stuff like that, and he's more the old man pretending to be Data, and they sort of twig that it isn't him.
Right, okay.
And stuff. Then he admits it to his girlfriend and goes, I can build you a robot like Data. For you when you die, and she doesn't like it.
Don't remember that episode at all.
It's quite good, actually. It's probably one of the better ones of the season.
Oh, dear. Well, I missed that one.
Definitely. Where else are we? That was Schizoid Man. Unnatural Selection.
Is this the cloning one?
No, this is the close call on Pulaski's death old woman one.
Oh, yes. Now, this did have a very good bit at the beginning when they discover the Federation ship and all of the crew. They log into the
Oh,
the
that bridge. Was dark.
Yeah, the bridge camera, and they're floating around and they're all sat dead. And they all died of natural causes.
Frightening.
I can only surmise that they died of old age.
Dun-dun-dun!
Cue title sequence. Yeah, no, that was quite a good bit. The rest of the episode was a bit shit. Although it did have the kids who were telekinetic super, kids,
yeah,
didn't
that was
they?
It. The telekinetic kids.
Taught me what telekinesis was.
Oh, really?
Yes, I understood what telekinesis was after I watched that.
Probably me too. Another example of how Star Trek makes you clever.
Yes. I used the word telekinesis the other day, and a couple of people at work looked at me quite blankly.
Oh, there you go. Then. Yeah, you're cleverer than them because you
I know what telekinesis is. I have absolutely no practical application for that word in real life. But I know what it means.
Makes you a better person.
I think excellent. So. More rounded human being.
Do you know what? With regards to Star Trek making you a well-rounded human being, sorry to go off course of the season two stuff, but last night on BBC, there was a sort of compilation of Louis Theroux's Weird Weekends thing. Do you know the program Louis Theroux?
Not at all.
Louis Theroux is a sort of interview journalist who likes to specialize in getting close to people and really getting to the real them. And he's done some fantastic interviews with people that generally go on for a week.
Right.
And he's done some very famous ones with Paul Daniels and Debbie McGee. He did Jimmy Savile. They're the celebrity ones, and they're all brilliant. Christine Hamilton, Christine and Neil Hamilton was amazing. He was actually interviewing them the week that they were accused of sexual assault on that young woman.
Right.
Brilliant stuff. But as part one of his series that he did was he sort of travelled around America finding the weirdest fringe people that he could possibly find and spend time with them and get to know them and sort of show the world what they were like. One of these groups of people he spent time with were a group of swingers.
Right.
A sort of middle-aged couple who ran swingers parties out of their house. And at one point, the guy of the couple showing him around his house, they're filming in every room sort of thing and telling us what's in it. And they go into their group room, which is basically a bedroom where it's all a bed with everything you need for many people to be shagging each other all at the same time at parties. And it pans around the room, and there on the wall in a frame is the poster for Star Trek IV. And it pans back, and you realize there's another framed thing with all the Star Trek TV guide covers put together lovingly in it. And you just think, it's this sort of thing
that gives us a bad name.
Yeah, that's what makes people think we're weird.
Mm.
When it's the people who are perhaps considered quite fringe, who admit such love for Star Trek. Bless them.
Bless them.
Not that I think swingers are bad people. You do your thing. Hey?
No.
You know. Anyway, back to the thing.
Back to the episode.
A matter of honor, Riker serves as first officer on a Klingon ship. I like this episode.
I do like
a lot.
This episode. We were introduced to Gah. And we were introduced
live
to
Gah.
Live Gah. Always served best when live.
Yeah.
Big
things. Doesn't he try to destroy the Enterprise at the end? Lots of big, weird end things.
Yeah, well, you've got the... Because it's an exchange, isn't there? Now, I can always remember what happened on the ship with Riker. I can never really remember what happened with the other guy who went on the Enterprise.
Let's have a think. Now, that didn't actually come up until either season 3 or 4. It was an alarming amount of time. It was as if they were thinking of ideas for new shows and someone suddenly remembered that they'd done that.
Oh, didn't it happen in the episode then?
Or no, was
it?
Not
oh,
at
right.
all.
Oh, right.
No,
okay.
It happened ages later. Maybe right. 3 or 4.
Well, I remember Riker trying to take over the ship and then the captain gives him a smack at the end. And
yeah, that's basically... Oh, there's a situation that comes down. I think what happens is as the two ships meet to exchange officers, some sort of weird hull-eating bacteria.
Yes, and they think it's the Enterprise that's poisoned the ship.
That's
and
it, and Riker has to save the day, which he does. The captain of the Klingon ship clocks in one at the end, which is brilliant.
Yeah, it's always nice to see Riker get a smack every now and then.
I just love the thing at the end, the little exchange between him and Picard or someone at the end after he comes back, and they say, looks like you got a nasty wallop, and you're like, imagine what it would have been like if I had not let him hit me.
Right.
Something like that. The whole really letting a Klingon hit you once and getting it out the way is a whole lot easier than not letting him hit you.
Yeah.
Especially when he's the captain of a bird of prey and pissed off.
Yeah.
So that's quite a good one. That's definitely the one to worth checking out.
Same rule kind of applies if you're ever in Tokyo, by the way.
Oh, I understand, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll let
the Japanese go.
Oh, the Japanese in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let him give you a smack.
Okay.
And then...
You had much experience with that, have you?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, that's good.
Right. Next.
Measure of a Man.
Measure of a Man.
Very important.
Awesome
yes,
episode.
This is a very good episode. Do you want to go with this one?
This is the forerunner at the moment because you have the absolutely incredible speech from Picard at the end with the Federation was set up to explore discover new life forms, and there he sits, points at Data. Brilliant.
The gist of this episode is that the Federation want to take Data away. Starfleet Command want to take Data off the Enterprise and sort of dismantle him and figure out how he works.
What he does, yeah. And the Commander Maddox refers to him as it.
That's true. That's
throughout all of the episode.
And then Picard obviously objects, saying Data's actually a person. He's not a machine, and he deserves the same rights as any living being who lives within the Federation.
And so they put him on trial to decide whether or not he is or is not.
The twist, of course, being that Riker has to argue for the prosecution.
Ah, yes. I forgot about that. Yes, that made it even better.
The closing scene where they're having a party because obviously Data wins and isn't taken away and dismantled. And Riker's sort of standing on his own and won't come to the party because he's like, I nearly had you killed, even though I didn't want to. And Data forgives him. It's actually a wonderful episode.
It is a wonderful episode.
See, it's not all bad.
No, it's not.
It gets bad now because we've got a Wesley Crusher episode coming up. Oh,
what was Wesley doing this season?
This was the Dauphin. And
first instance of shapeshifters in Next Gen, wasn't it?
And, yes, it was. Done with plasticine, I think, or something of that ilk.
Something of that ilk, yeah. Wesley falls in love. She turns out to be a big, crazy space creature.
Yeah.
Guinan gives him a little guidance. Riker gives him a little guidance. It does have the wonderful scene where Guinan and Riker rehearse a flirtatious converse in 10-4.
That's very good, isn't it?
Which was very amusing. What is it? Don't put me on a pedestal. I'd fall. Oh, I can't remember what it was.
And if you fell, I'd be there to catch you.
Yeah, and it's just the most cheesy, horrible, cringeworthy, squirmy fucking scene ever, but it's almost deliberately like that.
This, out of all the Wesley Crusher episodes, I don't think they're all bad.
I think this is the least.
Right. And it's when they sort of stray into this Wesley's love life sort of area, especially when he's the boy that he is in season two, you sort of switch off.
Yeah.
It takes it to a whole new sort of area and becomes a sort of teenage love story thing that you're not going to Star Trek for.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't blame Wesley himself. Clearly it's all the writers and it's not performed badly or anything like that. It's just dull.
Yeah.
He falls in love with the girl he's not supposed to. It turns out she's a fucking furry little gremlin anyway.
Yeah. And how many times has that happened? Maybe that was an extended metaphor for, you know.
But I was very drunk.
Oh, no, maybe it's a metaphor for, you know, meeting girls in nightclubs and taking them back. And in the morning they turn out to be nothing like you thought they were.
That has to be what it is.
Yeah.
Sorry, just checking the levs. The next episode, is that Contagion?
Contagent.
Contagent. Contagion. The Enterprise computer is infected by an alien hardware.
That happened a number of times.
It did happen a number of times.
That's a fairly nondescript description.
Is this the one with...
That's kind of like saying the crew beamed to a planet. What's his name in? I don't know.
Hmm.
God, I am totally and utterly unfamiliar with this season. This is really shit.
The Starship Enterprise enters the neutral zone in response to a desperate plea for aid from the USS Yamato, which is being crippled.
Yes, this is fucking awesome.
Oh, right,
yes.
Okay.
This is the one with the gateways and the ancient people who
have
all the crazy weapons, and the Yamato blows up in the opening sequence. Donald! Donald! Boom!
Donald.
And you see the... Saucer section fly towards them and disintegrate. And
of course, yes.
All 1,000 crew are dead in the first 5 minutes. Brilliant.
Dark.
Then we've got all the gateway stuff, and then the fact that Data electrocutes himself to stop it, and then you've got...
Oh, yes. You know,
traveling through the gateway, and would they get there in time? And one of them just happens to be the bridge, and another one happens to be the bridge of the Romulan ship.
Just by coincidence.
Just complete coincidence.
Lucky, isn't it? Yes.
Lucky. One of them was Paris. You know, just Paris, and one of them was the Bridge of the Enterprise, but we'll forgive them that.
Okay.
And yeah, they are what the ancient people called the Iconians, which later crops up in a DS9 episode.
Does it really?
The Jem'Hadar start using gateways and they send a bomb squad into DS9 and they just appear and blow up one of the pylons.
Wow.
It's quite a good episode.
That's very good. I like that. I'll have to check those out. Next episode, The Royale, one of my favourites. I don't know why, it's very twee. Basically, they discover something weird on a planet or something like that. They go down, Riker, Worf, and Data go into this building. Turns out to be a replica of a hotel called the Royale.
It's all based on
a book.
Casino Royale.
No, they find a piece of space debris floating. It turns out to be from a 22nd century spacecraft or something like that.
Yeah.
They trace its...
God, what is it? They trace something from it down to a planet.
Yeah.
Which they go down to investigate. They enter this weird structure.
And it's actually...
It's a casino hotel sort of thing.
Yeah.
They eventually find out the casino hotel, whatever, has been created as a place for one of the crew of the old starship to live in.
Mm-hmm. By some aliens.
By some aliens who accidentally felt bad about killing the rest of his crew.
Right.
So basically it's all based around a book they find in his room that was on the spaceship. So in order to escape from it, Data, Worf and Riker have to perform the end of the book.
Features a, do you know Bernard from Lost?
Yes.
Yes, he's in that, very young.
All right.
As the chap behind the desk. The
Yes, he is. Yes, I remember now.
Yeah, baby needs a new pair of shoes.
That's it. I think it's a great episode.
That is a good episode. That's a good episode. Nice moderate one.
Next. Times Squared.
Is this the one with two Picards?
The one with two Picards.
Now, this had actually, if I remember correctly, some spectacular visuals at the end for the time when the Enterprise is dragged into the time hole and you see it get pulled down, and then they've got to go all the way through because of what their mistake they made was trying to resist when they actually had to go through the hole.
That's it.
Kind of like Black Ice.
I think it's wonderful in all these situations where they do a time travel thing.
Mm.
It's good that there's only two options in every situation.
Yes, it is, isn't it? It's remarkably.
If you did one and it went wrong, then clearly doing the other will go right.
Yeah.
I feel that's a theory that may be slightly flawed in reality.
Mm.
But nevertheless, it seems to work in Star Trek. Maybe it will in the future.
There was two Picards as well, and he has to shoot himself, doesn't he? At the end.
Yes, he does shoot himself. He shoots himself.
And yeah, they open the shuttle bay doors and you see the vortex.
Yes, again, very good.
Very good visually.
Good example of how good Star Trek actually looked, especially for the time when you compare it to what else was going on. The next one, the Icarus Factor. Yeah.
What was Icarus Factor?
This is Riker's dad when you find out that... I can't even remember the plot of the episode. It's the one with Riker's dad. If you want to see his dad and find out that he shagged Dr. Pulaski, then that's the one. And I've just told you he shagged Dr. Pulaski, so you don't even need to watch it for that.
There we go.
It's not a good one. Pen Pals.
Pen Pals. Now, this was a weird one, because that's where Data starts talking to a creature from a world that's like in the middle of a volcanic...
It's going
to
destroy itself, yeah.
And they save her, don't they? It's violation of the Prime Directive, and it's one of those moral ones, isn't it?
It is, but it's a good one. There's some good discussions, some good little group scenes and stuff like that. Again, nice to pass 45 minutes with. Not that bad at all. Q-Who.
Now, this is a good one.
Boom.
Borg.
Boom.
Big Borg.
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 This is where life got interesting.
Yes.
They are boasting that they're pretty much prepared for anything that could possibly await them out there in the universe. Q appears to prove that this is probably incorrect. Just a little bit.
Mm.
He hurls them across the galaxy to the Delta Quadrant, where they first encounter the Borg.
Yes.
The Borg fuck them sideways.
They take a sample of the ship.
They take a sample of the ship.
Killing something like 20 crew members or something
18,
like that.
18, I believe it is. Doesn't really matter. I think it's 18.
But there's a few.
I don't know if they assimilate anyone.
You see, this is the thing which came back to me with when Q comes back in series 4 and says, I'm going to give you a wish, any wish. What do you wish for? I'd have straight away turned around and said, I want my 17 crew members back that you killed, that you got killed by exposing them to the Borg. Please. You know, something like that. But never mind. Could you just get rid of the Borg?
Just all of them.
Just get rid of them, please.
Can I have a Borg killing gun on my ship?
Yeah.
Something like that. That would be a good plan.
Something like that. So, Guinan's defense against Q is the thing I remember the most about this episode. It kind of looked like she was making finger puppets or something like that and kind of went back and...
It's probably a weird ancient martial art.
Yeah.
Something from the... I can't remember what she is.
She's an imp.
Alorian.
I don't think she was miles an hour. She wasn't named until Generations. I don't think their species wasn't named.
No, I think it was before then. I seem to think because obviously in Time's Arrow, references to the longevity of her life is made.
Mm, references to what she can do, but not necessarily who she is or what species she derives from.
And that episode, I realised from watching it again, is just so full of inconsistencies, it hurts my brain. Let's move on. So,
that was a good one. That was especially with the photon torpedoes that dispersed the shield strength, which we never saw again.
I don't remember that.
Well, they're flying away from the Borg ship, and it starts firing things that start knocking.
Oh, you
the shield
see, get
down.
The cool shot of them zooming in on it while it's chasing them, and you see it repairing itself.
Yes. Oh, you got Baby Borg as well.
Baby Borg, never to be seen again.
Never to be seen again.
They just assimilate. I don't know if they had the assimilation thing to begin with.
No.
Yeah, they clearly did or something.
They must have thought about it later on.
I don't know. But obviously from the earlier episode of Enterprise, they already knew about us.
Well.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Samaritan Snare. Geordi's taken hostage by some docile creatures.
That had a good little trick at the end, if I remember correctly.
I don't remember.
The way he gets out of it. But it was quite odd that they were a bit thick, and yet they'd somehow managed to master interstellar travel and could pilot a spaceship with the, you know, that you were meant to believe these people had the mental age of a 10-year-old or less.
That was it, yeah.
And yet they could successfully pilot space. Yeah.
Not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
The next one was Up the Long Ladder with the Irish people.
Oh, God. Well, it did have Riker bedding a reasonably attractive Irish gal, if I remember.
Yes, of course, Riker bedded a woman.
Reasonably attractive Irish girl. Yeah, now, do you remember ages ago, I told you about a time when my parents set the video recorder and for Wednesday night, 6 o'clock BBC Two, because we were out doing something like a parents' evening, I can't remember, and missed an episode of Next Gen, and I really wanted to see it, and I for the longest time I was trying to get hold of it, and then a couple of years later I managed to see it.
It was this one.
It was that one, and do you know how disappointed I was when I finally got around to seeing the missing Next Gen episode?
Yeah. I watched the one that I'd never seen before. It was appalling.
Which one was it?
Can't remember the name, but it was the one with David Ogden Stiers and Lwaxana Troy was in it, where she falls in love with the guy who's got to go and kill himself.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible, because he's 40 years old.
Thinking, just go and fucking kill yourself. Yeah. If Lwaxana Troy fancied me, I'd go and kill myself.
Yeah.
You know, sorry. Bless her.
Never mind.
Yeah, this is where they discover two sets of missing colonists who'd been missing for many years, and their gene pools were too small for them to carry on without being able to play the banjo.
Right.
So one of the groups of people had become very high-tech and all that, and the other group were like Irish people in Disney films.
And didn't the high-tech people want to clone...
I think that's where the cloning comes
from. And doesn't it have like a really dark scene when they kind of vaporize themselves?
Yes, it does. Yes. Again, they're the ones who make the clone of Pulaski and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And Riker. It's crap. It's crap.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just is. Okay, then Manhunt. Picard is subjected to Lwaxana's amorous advances. Never a good thing.
No, never a good thing.
No good ever come of those episodes. Except the one where he's forced to give the big Shakespearean-style speech, but I'm sure that'll
Menage a Troy.
Yeah, that'll come up when we get to that one properly.
That's Series 3.
The Emissary, a significant episode.
Yes, we start on a...
We meet Alexander's mum for the first time here.
Before Alexander is born, I believe.
Yes, before he's even conceived. Worf's ex.
But doesn't he turn up like a year later and he's like 5 years old?
Oh, he's far too old for how he is when he turns up.
Yeah.
Because he's about 7 years old when he turns up.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. It does also feature Worf's famous calisthenics program as well, which I always wanted.
Is this the
skull head?
Yeah, the skull head, and they slice him in half and his head half slides off.
Yeah.
Excellent shot, that.
Good, good.
I always wanted that, I must admit.
What actually went on in this episode? I can't remember anything apart from Worf's calisthenic program and him and that girl.
I'm going to have a quick look.
And he just got his leg over, and that was about all I remember.
Just wait. What are NTL up to tonight?
I don't know.
The mouse isn't in its wheel.
The world is clearly using the net at the same time we want to. What's the one after that?
Peak Performance, a simulated war game turns deadly.
That was an entertaining one.
It was. The one with the weird guy who
Total Recall.
Yes, with the things on his fingers that plays data at that game that involves twitching your fingers a lot very quickly.
Yes, doesn't that guy come back and play the captain of the shipyard when they try to get a Vulcan ship to...
Yes, he does.
In Unification.
Yes, he does.
He fancies a bit of Deanna.
Well, you would. The page of Emissary is not coming
Fuck
up.
Fuck it. They know what it is.
Fuck it. Peak Performance, it's all right.
Peak Performance is good. I like Peak Performance. And, you know, it's got the dilapidated ship, isn't it? And what was it when he takes Worf on and he's got a bit of a trick up his sleeve and he says, I admire guile.
Guile.
Again, first time I learned the word guile.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
I knew what guile meant.
Thanks to that.
It was good.
Finally, after that is just Shades of Grey.
Shit.
Worst episode ever.
Ever.
Of all the Star Treks, this is it. This is the only clip show.
Yeah.
It was a fucking clip show. Riker gets poisoned. Oh, he has hallucinations.
Which come in the form of memories, which conveniently only happened in the last 2 years.
That's it.
And the memories are, oddly enough, the camera angles that we use in the episodes. Oh, I hate these fucking episodes.
That's it.
Oh.
And he doesn't die, if you think he was going to.
No. And the stupidest thing about this entire episode is, okay, right, you've got a mental problem like this, and you're probably prone to some kind of spasm, I think, or involuntary or whatever. They put pins in his head that are lodged in place by another structure surrounding the pins. As soon as he has one convulsion, that's it. Ripped through half of his brain stems.
Just dies.
Stupid. Stupid medical device.
Crazy people.
Yeah.
So that's
pretty much series two. Now, what are we going for?
Best episode of season two. I think if you like Data, it's got to be Measure of a Man.
Yeah, I'm thinking, it's going to have to go to Q-Who.
It's bigger, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's definitely bigger because it has so many connotations for both the movies and all the TV series that followed it.
And it introduced one of the greatest Star Trek villains of all time.
And had Q in,
who's always entertaining.
That's a winner for me.
Yep, that's our winner, I think. Q who?
Superb.
Close second, Measure of a Man.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Cool.
I'll go with that. Excellent. I feel pleased with that. That's a sense of accomplishment.
We've been very thorough.
We've put the world to rights, what we've done.
We've been so thorough it made my teeth hurt.
Star Trek fans can sleep soundly tonight.
I think they can.
I will.
Or they can be screaming at us saying, "What? You like that?
What have you done?
What have you..."
Now then, seeing as we're at the end of the show and we're talking about fans screaming at us...
Right, okay.
Let's address a few things.
Okay.
First of all, the forums.
The forums.
Our forums suck ass.
They do.
Some people may have noticed we have added swanky, new, shiny, wonderful, lovely forums of goodness for the other three shows we've got running on Simply Syndicated at the moment.
They had. And Make It So has been feeling a little bit neglected.
It has, and rightly so.
Rightly so.
So what I'm promising is tomorrow in the morning, I will build us a brand new Make It So forum.
So tomorrow afternoon, I'll be able to see you.
Yes.
Wow.
And there'll be all sorts of lovely things for you to be able to put in on it.
Excellent.
I'm telling you now, there'll still be a cookie login problem.
Right.
But hopefully I'll get that problem sorted by the end of the week. Driving me nuts too.
It's driving me insane.
So to anyone who is on any of the other forums, I do apologize, but it is driving me insane.
Unfortunately, that does mean for our former members that they will have to sign up
again.
And
that's why I've been putting it off. As you know, I destroyed the forums like a moron not long ago, and it's not really built up. We've got to do it. It's for uniform stuff. It's important.
It's important to the continuity of the website.
It is.
Hope you understand. Hope you don't want to shun us forever for making you do that. I mean, really, it's only 2 seconds of your time. Just sign in again.
Exactly.
It's fine if you're really that bothered. If you want to talk about it, if you want to come up with some suggestions for another show, be our guest.
Want to email us at all, suggestions of new shows or anything like that, it's makeitso@simplysyndicated.com.
Or alternatively, there will be forum links. And you can look at it there.
all sorts of things. It's dead easy to get in touch. Go over to Podcast Alley, vote for us. We're number 12, I think, now, or something like that.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool.
That's pretty good.
We've got Simply Syndicated podcasts all over the place. Movies You Should See is number 4 now, I think.
Number 4.
Which is pretty cool.
We're near the end of the month.
We are. Or go over to dig.com and dig us in the podcast section of there. Mm-hmm. Again, Make It So is doing excellently.
If you have any other friends who listen to podcasts and like Star Trek and maybe you might like this Star Trek podcast, Simple Equation, tell them about us. Get
That's
them on this.
Good thing to do.
Good thing to do. Enlighten them, brighten their lives.
Yep. And if you want to hear any of the other podcasts we do, we have a all-in-one audio channel feed, which is simply here. And you can get that by going to simplysyndicated.com/simplyhere. There is even a dashboard widget for the podcast. I'm still chuffed about those.
You love that dashboard
so
widget.
So much. So much, I can't tell you. It's ridiculous. Right, let's wrap this up.
Okay, and listen to Make It So. Listen to Make It So next week.
Like you have.
And next week. We'll be back.